So this month of October, having been at some point by Dr. Dobson or whoever it may have been designated as appreciation month for your pastor, we've talked about it all month, and we've encouraged you to let your pastor know, to let others know that are in places of leadership in the churches that perhaps you've visited elsewhere, that you appreciate the work that they do because they're standing here as God's representative. And about a year ago, by way of introduction, I guess the message that I've got tonight kind of came to me about a year ago or so, last time we had Pastor Appreciation Month, and I was kind of looking for an opportunity and looking for, a time and a place where I could preach, but I really didn't have a piece about how it should have gone. I had some ideas, I had some thoughts, and over the course of this last year, as I was praying over it and kind of studying for it and thinking about this whole message, which I've titled The Man of God, as I've been thinking about it and praying over it, it's kind of changed some. I originally had some thoughts that it would just be about our pastor, because it's Pastor Appreciation Month, and so the message was going to be something along the lines of, you know, the man of God as a in the pulpit, the man of God in public, and the man of God in private. All about our pastor, who's doing such a wonderful job standing here preaching the Word of God, and I appreciate him so much. But, as I said, through a whole lot of prayer, I believe that God has answered those prayers about the direction that this message should go tonight. And so by God's grace, I'd like to talk tonight about the man of God as a pastor, the man of God as a leader, and the man of God as a teacher. Now, these three points will develop, and it's going to bring all of us into it, however, as well, because ultimately, we are all to be honoring God. If we're saved, if we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, it is our job to stand up and be men and women of God. Let's pray tonight. Father, as we look to this message, the man of God, Lord, as I stand here, humbled by the opportunity, by your grace, God in heaven, I pray that your Spirit would take this message and have your way with it. Father, you've answered the prayers about how to put this message together, and I'm so thankful for that. Lord God, we love you. We love the man and his wife that you put in place as leadership over this church. But Father, tonight, won't you open our hearts? Open us, Father, to how you would have us to respond. Not necessarily to appreciate our pastor, which we need to do, Father, but God, ultimately to honor you. So in that light tonight, Father, as we look to this message, the man of God, Father, stand here with me. May your Spirit stand here before me. Father, that only the words that need to be spoken tonight will be spoken. Father, may you get glory and honor from everything that takes place here tonight. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Take your Bibles, if you would, please. Turn with me. We're going to take a look at Hebrews chapter 13 to get started. That's where our text is going to come from. Hebrews chapter 13, we'll be reading verses 7 through 17 as our source text tonight. We won't be staying necessarily in that all night. We will be going through an awful lot of scripture, so bear with us as that proceeds tonight. But if you would, and if you can, please stand with me tonight as we read Hebrews chapter 13, starting in verse 7. Follow along. Verse 7 says, "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar, whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts, whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin, are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, Let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Verse 17 says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. For they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Amen. You may be seated. God add his blessing to his word tonight. So with the source text, talking about the man of God as a pastor, we saw in our text the very first verse, the very first command that we saw in verse 7 was to remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God. That's the pastor. Now, remember them. Okay, well, why? Why do we need to remember them? Why should we be praying for them? Why should we bring up their names before God? Well, they're the pastor. They live righteously. They're the ones showing us all the examples, right? The Bible says to remember them. How do we remember them? We need to be praying for them. The very first, the very most important thing that we need to do is to pray for them. How many times in Scripture did Paul remind those that he wrote to? How many times did he say that he thanks God for them and mentions them in his prayers? We need to pray for Pastor and for Peggy because they pray for us. I don't believe there's a day goes by that Pastor or Peg don't have on their prayer list the name and the personality, the families, every single one that have still remained in this church, but also for those that have come and perhaps have moved on. That's right. I believe they have that heart, and they'll lift us up before the Lord. We need to pray for them. Verse 17 in our text, it says in part B there, it says, submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account. Pastor prays for us because he's going to stand before a holy and a just God one day, just as we are. He's been given a charge, and he'll give an answer for his stewardship here. He prays for us. We need to pray for him. Now, because God has called a man, any man, give it our pastor, give it any other pastor, because God has called a man into the pastorate, there's several things that God puts into the heart of a pastor that we really need to consider about their calling and about their profession and about their congregation. God puts some things into the heart of a pastor. Turn with me, if you would, over to Acts. We're going to go to Acts chapter 6. We're going to take a look at some things that God puts in the heart of a pastor. Acts chapter 6, starting in verse 1, verses 1 through 4. Again, we're going to be looking at a lot of scripture tonight. So mark them down, follow along as you can. Study these when you go home. Acts chapter 6, starting in verse 1, it says, and in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them, that's the church, called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Verse number 4 is the key here. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. That is the first and foremost thing put into the heart of a pastor. He needs to be continually in prayer and ministering the word to the church. I believe that this is the care of the church that we're looking at here, the duties of the church and of the pastor, but the pastor is given primarily to prayer and to ministering. Also, take a look at Colossians, if you would. Colossians chapter 1. Bear with me as we go through some scripture here. We're going to just establish a foundation. Colossians chapter 1, turn there, looking at verses 9 and 10. Looking at the heart of the pastor, it says, for this cause also, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. It did not say that ye might walk worthy of what the pastor tells you to do, but the pastor's heart says that ye might walk worthy of the Lord. Praise God for that. Turn with me then also, if you would, 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, we're looking at verses 6 through 11. There's a whole litany of things starting in verse 1. Let me actually read quickly for you, starting in verse 1 of chapter 4. It says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter days, or in the latter times rather, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth." Verse 4 says, "For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer." Now, verse 6, it says, "If thou," speaking to the ministers, "if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach." I don't know of a time, I don't know of a situation when it could ever have been reported. I don't know of one that our pastor, the man of God that was raised up and installed here by God as a pastor, I don't know of a time when it could be reported that he has not followed these principles and these mandates as an example for each one of us. And it's only by God's grace, and it's only in the power of Jesus Christ. But it cannot be done. It cannot be done by any man standing in a pulpit unless that man of God is fully committed to God, so that anything and everything that is accomplished, anything and everything that is done for God's glory and for the exaltation of Jesus Christ. Praise God for a man that has a heart like that. Again, turn with me. 1 Peter. Let's take a look at 1 Peter, please, if you would. Chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, establishing again this foundation. Now this particular passage, we're going to start actually in verse number 1, would not only apply to the pastor, but it also applies to the elders of the church, just as this verse says. Verse 1 says, "The elders which are among you I exhort, whom am also an elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage," notice it said God's heritage, "but being an ensample to the flock." This includes not only our pastor, but it includes the elders of the church. And Pop Smith, I also appreciate his faithfulness. Amen. The responsibility of a pastor is not a small one. The scope of work of a pastor is so far beyond what anyone might think until they're in that position. And because of the scope of the responsibility before God, we need to be, as the verse said in Hebrews, remembering our pastor and holding him and his wife up in prayer before the very God that has given us such a pastor. We also cannot forget that while he is ordained and he is placed here by God, and God gives him the strength, and it's the scriptures that give him the strength to go on, there is still, just as in every single one of us, there is still a fleshly nature that must be contended with. We must, friends, therefore recognize that as God has placed him here, he's still the man that has a fleshly nature that must be contended with. We've got to pray for them. To honor our pastor, to honor God, we must pray for them. Now, before I go on, I don't want anyone thinking tonight that this message is intended to put pastor or to put Pop or to put any other preacher up on a pedestal to glorify them. It's not intended to set them up as an object of worship. And while I may hold Pastor and Peggy, while I may hold Pop and Rosa, and I may hold others in very high regard personally, and I see them as good examples to us and mentors, I want to be very clear that this message tonight is ultimately an exhortation to me and to you. How did that work out? To me and to you. Hold on. Okay. To me and to you. Amen. It is an exhortation to us, as we can find in Scripture. All throughout Scripture, we can find that we have common fallacies. We have common enemies. There is no temptation has taken you but such as is common to man. The pastor is no different. We have a common enemy. I also must believe that as God has been working on me through this message tonight, through studying for this message, God has worked on my heart, and I praise him for it, and I thank him. So isn't he working on every one of us as we sit in church week after week? He's waiting, and he's wanting each and every one of us to respond to him so that we can be molded and shaped, conformed, and transformed into the image of Christ. Now, just as we've seen that God has given the man of God who is in the vocation of a pastor, he's given him certain responsibilities, he's given him certain duties, he's given him a heart, I also want to remind us that if we're saved tonight, if you're saved tonight, did you know that you are a man of God or a woman of God? I know it's a play on words, but you know what? The principle is right. You are a man of God. You are a woman of God. You are a young person born of God who also has the same responsibilities and duties. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 13. I appreciate you jumping around Scripture with me tonight, but you know I believe in the spirit of the whole counsel of the gospel. We need to look at every aspect as much as we can. Going back to Hebrews 13, we're commanded to remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken the word, spoken unto you the word of God. Our duty here is to pray. Remember them in prayer. But look at the next phrase, if you would, with me in verse number 7. It says, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Verse 8, I'm so glad that Scripture is so clear and plain and I don't have to have a college degree to understand it. Amen. Verse 8 spells it out, Jesus Christ. The end of their conversation, Jesus Christ. The same yesterday and today and forever. God doesn't change. Jesus Christ doesn't change. Friends, not only must we pray, the Bible says we must also follow. But notice, please, with me that it does not say to follow the man. God's wisdom, praise God for his wisdom, he tells us to follow the faith. Doesn't this speak to our own conduct? Here it is, it's the message about the man of God. No, it's a message to exhort us. It's talking about our own conduct. It says, whose faith follow? We agreed just a moment ago that as believers, we are all men or women of God. Now, as believers, we are of God by faith, right? And because we're of God by faith, oh, faith cometh when? By hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Thank you. I appreciate your help with that tonight. So let's look a little bit further into the word of God. We're all of God by faith, so we need to go to the scriptures and find out how to support that. Turn with me, if you would, please, Ephesians chapter 4. As believers, we are to do according to, well, the whole counsel of the gospel, but let's look at verses 1 through 8. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 8, it says, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. Verse 5 goes on to say, there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. verse 7 says, "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men." Now again, verse 1 says that we're supposed to walk worthy. That sounds like a pretty heavy charge. Walk worthy? Come on. That's a big instruction book. Walk worthy? How? "By faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Let's look to the word of God. Look at verse 11. "And he gave some," this is talking about the gifts that he's given to all of you, he is in you all, "and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ." The Bible says we're to walk worthy. The Bible says that we are to grow up in Christ. The only way that we're going to be able to walk worthy is by taking that next step in our own spiritual growth process. Now, I want to say this very kindly tonight because God's been working on me. I don't know what God's been doing in your life, but there is something that you and God have to work out. God is working on your heart about something. I don't know what it is. I don't want to know. I don't need to know. God is working on your heart. God is leading you in some area of your life. He is burdening your heart. He's wanting you to make some changes. He's wanting you to take the next step. It is up to you to step up, to grow up, and to commit that if your burden is in agreement with Scripture, that's the standard that we have to hold it against. If your burden is in agreement with Scripture, that you need to start pressing toward that mark. Take that next step. So what happens? What happens when, Lord, you've broken me? You're on your face before God. You're in tears, perhaps. God, you've broken me. You've burdened my heart. Now I got to do something, God. I'm going to do this. God, help me. I'm going to do this in the strength of Jesus Christ. What happens? Satan. Satan happens. Satan's demons happen. As soon as you commit to God that you are going to read your Bible more, that you are going to pray more, that perhaps you're going to give up something that is of no good to you as a child of God, perhaps you're going to be a better witness, you're going to hand out tracts, perhaps you're going to have a better testimony in public or at work or at home, as soon as you commit that, what happens? Well, I only missed it this once. God, I'm going to get right back to it. Oops. Something came up. Well, pretty soon, I'm right back to where I started. And I'm more depressed now than I ever have been. And you know why? Do you know why we get so depressed because of our failures? It's because we're listening to the father of lies that's trying to take away our faith and say, "You can't do it." You are listening to Satan attack you. Don't let him discourage you. Friends, come on, guess what? You didn't have the faith that it took to get saved until God gave it to you. Ephesians 2:8-9, right? "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves." God gave it to you. God gave you the faith. Where do we find the faith? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Don't let Satan win by tempting you to give up. When he's laughing at you because you've slipped, when he's laughing at you because you blew it, and he's taken away all your faith that says, "Oh, I can't go back to church now. Look at me. Everybody's going to laugh. What are they going to think?" Satan's trying to take away your faith. But you know what? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's not empty. Go get some more. Amen. Go get some more faith. It is not by chance. There is nothing in the word of God by chance. But God included 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 and 17. Go there with me, please. 2 Timothy, you know it perhaps, but 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. The Bible says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, verse 17 says that the man of God may be something. Well, something has to happen for verse 17 to be fulfilled. That's how that word, that the man of God may be. Well, what happened? Verse 16 happened. All Scripture is given by God. So that the man of God, so that you and me, dear friends, can be thoroughly furnished. Do you know what that word thoroughly means? We've heard it so many times. It means thoroughly. It means completely. But do you know what else? If you really look at the very tense of how that whole verse is constructed, it's actually pointing back to the Scripture. That the man of God may be thoroughly furnished. Thoroughly and completely, yes, absolutely thoroughly and completely furnished unto all good works. But it's not that you are given everything that you need so now that you can go out and do it on your own. No. The Scripture is what makes you complete. It's the very Word of God. When you're running out of faith, if you're a little lacking in the whole faith department, go get some more! Amen. God has preserved it. Praise God. There is no mistake in it. So how can I understand all that Scripture? Huh. I don't know. There's an awful lot of words in there. Brother Hurdle, have you read that whole thing? Well, yeah, but you know, that's a lot. How am I supposed to understand it? Okay, well, where am I going? I'm rabbit trailing. No, I'm not. Go back to Hebrews. Our text verse says in verse 7, remember them that have rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow. If faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, if you don't understand what you're reading when you're trying to go get some more faith, if it doesn't apply, you can't figure out how to make it apply to your life, the Bible says, whose faith follow? Whose faith? The faith of the man of God that's been put in place as the leader of the congregation of God. If you don't understand something, wait, you know what? Did you ever notice? Anybody ever tried to put together one of those little solder pieces of furniture with all the happy little, you know, locking screws? Anybody ever put together one of those without the instructions? Not me. I'll put together something that looks like, you know, a whole bunch of planks on the floor. I don't know. That's about how much I'll put it together. Do you ever notice how much easier it is if you're trying to learn or trying to understand something to go and follow the directions? I know, men. A map? Are you crazy? A map? The directions? Come on. We'll figure it out. How many times do you get lost? How much easier is it that if you follow the directions a few times, now you've got an understanding. Now you've got a little more knowledge. Now you've got a little more wisdom. And now you're able to complete that task and go on to the next one. Your own faith can be strengthened, not only by the Word of God, which is the source of your faith, but it can be strengthened by following the faith of a man of God that has been raised up and put into that place of leadership. The last point tonight, the man of God as a teacher. Finally, the Bible says not only to remember, but in our source text in verse 17, the Bible also says that we are to obey. Now, since Jesus never changes, we've already looked at that, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Since Jesus Christ never changes, we know that what he says that we are to do also never changes. The message is still the same. Look again at verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. Why? It gives us the answer. For they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Anybody ever been called by their principal? Ringy, ringy, ringy. Hello? Might you want to come in and have a conference with us? Because, you know, son or daughter has... Okay, so who is that unprofitable for in the end? the son or the daughter? Right? Because mom and dad, the father, has to go in and talk to the one in charge, and he has to do that with grief. He has to do it with pain. And it's unprofitable for the child. God has put a man in place, and we are commanded to obey and to follow his faith. And if we don't, ultimately it's unprofitable for us. The pastor's going to grieve. The elders of the church are going to grieve. Those that are praying for you are going to grieve. God's going to grieve. It's unprofitable for us. Follow the faith of the teacher. Now, the song says, obedience is the very best way. Oh, come on, sing it with me. To show that you believe, right? All right. It's not so much that we're told to obey them that have the rule over you just because that they have been put into that position. Yes, we are to have respect for the office. And yes, we're supposed to have respect for that authority in our lives. But according to Scripture, we are to obey the one that God has equipped. Get this. We are to obey the one that God has equipped through Scripture to help us understand what God has said and how to apply it to our lives. God has said that we are to grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. The man that stands in the pulpit is the under-shepherd. He is the example. It's his faith that we must follow because he honors God in everything that he tries to do. Or he tries to honor God. If he doesn't, he's out. But isn't it our conduct? Isn't it an exhortation to us also? Because moms, dads, got kids? Well, if you're a mom or a dad, you've got kids. Come on, it's not hard logic. Moms, dads, those kids are looking at you. I so appreciate the message this morning, the character of a father. Kids are looking at you. Kids are watching you. And you know what? Just a couple weeks ago, we found out, it was so plain and so clear, it wasn't even a child. We were off in the grocery store, walking down the freezer aisle, looking at vegetables of all things. Somebody turned around and said, "You look familiar to me, but I remember your voice. You're the song leader." Yes. Yes, I am. I remember your voice. People are watching. People are listening. And you know what? You don't ever know what's going on in somebody else's life. You don't know where they're at in their individual walk with God that might need somebody to follow their faith. They're looking for someone who can show them what faith is all about so that they can help understand it and get some more of it for themselves. You don't ever know who's watching. Moms and dads, kids are watching. As individuals with our own minds and our own hearts, we are all at different places. Somebody's looking to us as an example, to us as a man of God, as a woman of God. And it's in this thought that I'm going to close tonight. I appreciate your patience. One more time, if you would, turn over with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Can we agree that we have seen that every one of us that is a believer tonight is a man or a woman of God, young man, young woman of God? You know, the Bible talks directly to us. God speaks directly to us. And while I understand that there are passages that traditionally are used to encourage and to exhort pastors and people in leadership positions in a church, starting in verse number 11, it speaks to us tonight. It's most certainly a charge and an exhortation and an encouragement to the men of God, but it's also directly applicable to us. Take a look at it. 1 Timothy chapter 6, starting in verse 11. "But thou, O man of God, flee these things." There's a whole litany of things in the first 10 verses. It says, "Flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession." He's been there. he was able to give a good report, a good witness. It goes on to say, before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, in verse 14, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. I would encourage you tonight, as it's Pastor's Appreciation Month, but you know what? If we love the Lord, if we love who God has put into our lives, it's not going to take somebody with a radio show and a ministry to tell us that it's Appreciation Month. If you love them, you're going to do for them. You're going to appreciate them. You're going to honor them. If you love God, you're going to honor God. If you're saved, you've been given instructions. There's a whole bunch of them. Go get more faith. If you're not saved, there's a whole instruction book about how you can go and get some more faith. It only takes that step of faith. It only takes that next step toward the mark that God has placed for you. Let's pray tonight. Father in heaven, I'm so very thankful tonight for your word. I'm so very thankful tonight for the men of God that you have put into my life. The men of God whose faith we can follow. Father, I'd ask tonight that as you have given opportunity here tonight, Lord, that we take the opportunity that you have provided. Because, Father, one day it will be too late. One day it will be the day of reckoning. There will be no more chance. But, Father, tonight we are alive. While there is life, there is hope. Father, tonight, may it be that, God, that you put it into our hearts to honor you. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus, for the perfect example, for your perfect work. God, for your perfect word. Thank you tonight. I believe, Lord, that the Spirit is present here. God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would continue to have a work in each and every one of our lives. May we not leave here tonight, Father, without committing to you. In the face of Satan coming to oppose us, may we commit with faith renewed that, God, we're going to honor you for what you have done for us in Jesus Christ. Amen. God, help us to honor what you've given us. Your word says that let every servant who is under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor. Father, as servants of Christ tonight, Jesus Christ is worthy of all honor. And Father, the men that you have put in place that strive to instruct, to teach, to be an example, may we also liken ourselves after them, follow the faith, Lord, that we might honor you and receive the blessing. God, I pray that your Spirit would continue the work tonight. And Father, as we close out this service, remembering our pastor, remembering our elder, remembering those folks in our lives that we can follow their faith, help us to pray for them, to obey them, to follow. And God will give you the honor and the glory. May we have a wonderful fellowship here tonight. By your grace, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 There should be cake and ice cream and coffee and things downstairs.